Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us live from Live X, New York, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we bask in the glow of the Packers shutting out the Saints and look ahead to a big game against the Vikings. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
the Packers defense.
What? We got the bad. We got
third down offense.
We got the ugly. We got
Darren Rizzi Kabuki Theater. Just punt the fucking ball, dude. How are you, Corey? Welcome to New York.
I'm good. Getting ready for New Year's Eve here at the old LiveX headquarters.
Love it, dude. Absolutely. How many years now? How many years you produce New Year's Eve?
I started 2002.
Holy cow.
The webcast since 2009. I can't do math, though. So, yeah, 2002, I've been working on the show. What's that, 22 years? This will be my 23rd year or something?
That's incredible, dude. That's so awesome.
Maybe 20. I can't count. But, yeah, no, getting ready. And, you know, we were talking before the show. It's always fun to do this show every year from a different location and this time. So, Merry Christmas, everybody, by the way.
Merry Christmas. Merry post-Christmas. Happy holidays.
It's been an amazing time to be a Packer fan. It's like everyone has come around to our point of view right now. So I like it.
The Packers are playing well, and they certainly have positioned themselves to make a postseason run here. And I think obviously Sunday's game in Minnesota is going to be a big, big test. No question about it.
We've come a long way from, you know, being accused of being homers and, you know, apologizing apologizing and defending the mediocre playoff team that is the Packers.
Of course. Right. Yes. Earlier this season when they were, you know, struggling a little bit, we were much more of a lifestyle brand, Corey, than a media company. We were
That's right. We're a lifestyle brand.
We're a lifestyle company selling our beer and just telling people to, you know, maybe pull back
Love
and have
the
some
Packers.
Perspective.
Yeah, have
God,
some fun.
God help us. God help it. hey, speaking of helping it, I can't wait. Let's get to the hotness, shall we? For the hotness. And this week, I mean, thank you, Josh Jacobs, for making it real easy and getting it out of the way on the very first drive of the game. Here's a look at the stiff arm that we all obviously watched a billion times this week. But what's one more time? Let's take a look at Josh Jacobs putting the honey badger. Yeah, I mean, just throwing him out of the club with his off arm. That's just phenomenal. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. That, ladies and gentlemen, is some hotness.
I mean, the only thing that could get better than that, well, I would like to get an interception right in front of Jefferson and then do the gritty. I want to see Ballantyne do the gritty, and then Josh Jacobs. Who's he going to push? Who's he going to manhandle
Harrison Smith.
The Vikings defense?
Harrison Smith, the safety, who will be playing. He didn't play last week against the Seahawks, but the Vikings have a pretty damn clean bill of health, as we will. Discuss here in a little bit during the news. Packers, not so much. But before we get to Packers news, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolet Law. At Nicolet Law, their mission is to help you navigate the challenging time that arrives after suffering an injury in an accident and restore your peace of mind knowing you and your family are protected during your recovery and beyond. And unlike some other firms, when you hire Nicolet, you get an actual attorney that stays on your case and is your main point of contact throughout. Check out the link in the description of this video for more information and to give yourself some peace of mind. You could all use a little peace of mind, especially this time of year, Corey. Goodness knows. I mean, I didn't even ask you. How was travel yesterday? I know you made the sojourn from Green Bay.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
I've been traveling all week and it's been pretty nice. I mean, yeah, it was kind of a waking up every morning. I was like, oh, what's going on? And like, it was like, oh yeah, all flights have been canceled this morning on American Airlines. Like, oh, good thing I'm on Delta. Man. But I
lucked
out. I
was going to say, you get caught up in that? That's good.
I went to North Carolina. I went to New York. Yeah. I mean, yeah, awesome, here we go.
Yeah, Sarah got delayed great. Like a million times yesterday, but she got down to New Orleans safely, which is great.
That's good to hear.
Good to see you
so
in
you guys
New York.
Still, you guys, you even after last week's game, you guys are still good?
We're still together. Still living together. Still paying the rent. All's well.
How long did it take for the crabbiness to wear off?
About an hour. About an hour. She was
only an hour?
I know. I was dutifully impressed. I came out of the room here, the studio, and went into the living room, and she was under a pile of blankets, and she legit just growled and said, "Don't fucking talk to me." And I said, "Okay, I got a lot of work to do, you know, post game stuff. I've still got a lot of time here." And then, you know, an hour later or so, she was fine. So, yeah, I get it. Saints fans.
I mean, it did help that, like,
the Saints
in general weren't in a good place, right? So
no,
it's like, it's exactly. Not like there's high expectations they were going to win that game. I mean, it would have been nice for Saints fans for sure, but, you know.
No, I don't think most people expected. I think people expected what transpired, which was a beatdown by the Packers, which, by the way, leads us right to our first news item. Corey Behnke, the Packers have clinched a playoff berth. How about
Yay!
That? In the playoffs.
I like it.
Now, obviously, seeding left yet to be determined. These last two games are going to help in that regard, but just great to be rooting for a team that's going to be playing in the playoffs, unlike the Chicago Bears last night. Holy cow, I don't know if you saw any of that game, Corey, but man, Bears, the organization, that fan base, they're in rough shape, man. And they've been
I
in rough shape
I started to
before,
turn it on, and
but
then
they
I realized
are in
it was
rough
the Bears.
Shape. They're literally like, chanting, sell the team, during the game.
I know, I saw that. Well, that's at least they're not chanting, Green Bay sucks. So that's
I know,
that's
well,
progress.
There's now a new chant.
There's a new chant in town.
Green Bay sucks. But yes, the Packers have clinched a playoff berth. Absolutely love it. Now we get into some of the health issues on this squad. Christian Watson, as we all saw on Monday night, he did suffer an injury to that knee, and it did look somewhat significant. But the Packers got what should be considered good news in that it is just, quote, a knee bruise. Christian did not practice this week, but Matt LaFleur left open the possibility that he might be able to go on Sunday. So definitely looked a lot worse, and you know you were definitely worried it might be something long term, but just a knee bruise. Other good news on the injury front: Javon Bullard returned to practice this week after missing the last 2 weeks completely. He was, I believe, a limited participant all 3 days, so still wondering if he might go, but it's good to see him back out there. Elton Jenkins has been kind of dealing with a knee injury all season on and off. He missed practice on Thursday, but he was back out there today. He should be good to go, which is obviously great news. Unfortunately, Quay Walker and Evan Williams didn't practice all week. And the big headline, Corey, of course, and we can take a look at the injury report here, which we don't usually do this show on a Friday, but since we have the injury designations. Jaire Alexander is out for Sunday, which really sucks, obviously. And it's frustrating to see him go from the Wednesday participation is estimated, but a full participant to a limited participant to did not participate today on Friday. So it's frustrating. This means he'll have played all of 10 snaps against the Packers division rivals this season in that game in Chicago out of the bye week. So it's frustrating. I'm sure the Packers are frustrated by it. I'm sure Jaire is as well. But they will be without their star cornerback once again heading into Minneapolis. But let's talk about
the reality. Here's the thing. The reality of the next two games are a bunch of, you know, nobody cares. I mean, we care, but like, can we get any further? No. The Vikings would have to lose twice, right?
Yeah, we can. It's going to be, you know, it could be anywhere between the fifth and seventh seed, right? And winning these games, sure, helps, is important, etc., but ultimately we're gonna have to win on the road. There's zero doubt about that. You know, it's gonna take a lot to have a playoff game end up in Lambeau, so they're gonna have to win on the road, and that's why this is such a great test. You know, it's a really good one of the best teams in the league in their place, national game, gonna be crazy, gonna be a lot of energy, it's a good kind of sharpening your knives prior to the playoff push, so to speak. Let's talk about the offense, shall we? Because obviously when you win 34-0, a lot of good stuff happens in that game. You can look at the tape and see a lot of promising stuff, a lot of productive stuff. But, man, the third down offense, something we talked about a couple weeks ago, still a bit of an issue, Corey. Now, they have gone up from 19th when we talked about this 2 weeks ago to 14th in the league, but they are still sitting at 40% conversion rate over the last three games. That's not going to get it done. That ain't going to get it done. I don't know. You obviously suggested maybe you should lean into the screen game a little bit more, which we saw hints of that, right? But they have got to be better on third down. If they're going to make noise in the postseason, whatever funk they're in third down wise, that has got to improve.
No doubt. I don't know. It's hard for me to like, I mean, that was, the only thing that I remember from that game besides a thorough beatdown was the fact that the middle was still open all the time. But I feel like that's just always going to be the case for everyone.
It's going to live forever in Green Bay.
But like the middle was open all the time, but it was zero at the end of the day. So, you know.
That's true. And they ran, what, two plays? They being the Saints, they ran two plays inside the Packers' 30-yard line, and both of them were turnovers. So it's like,
damn,
defense did a job, no question about it.
Yeah.
One thing on the third downs issue, right? When you're talking about, we've talked a lot about think Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's. It's good to see Dontavian Wicks kind of coming out of his funk. And I know there's still people kind of harping on one play there at the end, games in hand, where ball got tipped. And this is when Malik Willis was in there, and some people are calling that a drop. I don't rate that as a drop at all. I thought overall Wicks had a really good game, a really strong game, and not just when he saw the football, but also off the ball, like blocking in the run game and just some of the little things that maybe we weren't seeing a complete picture of earlier this season. Obviously the drops were an issue, but man, he has kind of found himself. He's found his groove, which is great. And of course, at just the perfect time as this team gets ready for the playoffs. And I think this last game, he was good. I think he's been even better like the games previous, the last two contests. But overall, it's just something I wanted to shout out because, I mean, we've all seen the drops, and it's so frustrating in the moment. It was kind of the narrative on Dontavian earlier this season, right? So it's nice to see a guy who obviously clearly has been doing the work and has, you know, kept his head down, done the work, and is now kind of reaping the benefits of said work.
Just well, it's definitely interesting to see. They got everybody involved, and they didn't get Wicks involved until a little bit later in the game. But once they did, you could see pretty much it was really nice to see all the weapons getting involved. It's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, and what was interesting, too, you talk about getting people touches, right, and helping them get a little bit more productive in both the passing game and the running game. I mean, they had a ton of receivers touch the ball in the running game. Obviously, Christian Watson on the play, he got hurt, but that's an explosive play, right? And Jaden Reed got involved that way. All three running backs ran the ball. It was nice to see just the ability to get everyone involved as in many different ways. And what was fascinating is I was kind of looking at this, and shout out to Paul Bredel for pointing this out in one of his recent pieces, because I hadn't really thought about it, but you go back and you watch the game, and there it is. The outside zone makes a return appearance there. We've talked so much this year about how they've really leaned into power, angle blocks, traps, things like that. All of a sudden you look at that game and they're running outside zone, classic zone, you know, just get string it out and then hit that cutback lane or get front side and make some. You saw Jacobs bust off a couple big runs that. Wilson hit one as well. So it's like, I love the ability to kind of call that up. And okay, teams are probably definitely preparing for all the power that you've been kind of putting on tape all year long. And now here we are, week 16, and suddenly, oh, there's outside zone. And it's really effective because defense probably didn't really prepare much for that this week, that week coming in. So just another interesting wrinkle there from LaFleur, Stanovich and company. And again, it was productive.
And there's been a move in the last four games or so, 4 weeks of games where we're going under center a lot more. The ratio is climbing.
Yeah, that's sprinkled in more, isn't it? Yeah, that's well observed. It's fascinating to see what comes out of that too, because it's not always like, well, I'm just going to turn around and hand it off. They've done a lot of they've tried to do a lot of the deeper play action stuff that we had talked about earlier this season, wanted to see more of it, gotten to it, definitely gotten to it. Now, they haven't always been able to, you know, hit it deep, so to speak, and Love's been judicious in hitting the check down, but yeah, it has certainly been noticeable. There's no doubt about that. Anyway, flip over to the defensive side of the ball. I want to give a shout out to Brenton Cox Jr. Talk about a guy who, again, kind of like we were talking about with Dontavian Wicks, obviously wasn't not only not productive at the beginning of the year, he was inactive for the first 9 games of the season, dressing in street clothes, not participating at all. And then obviously the trade happens with Preston Smith being sent to Pittsburgh. And now he has become a pretty, you know, integral part of their defensive end rotation. And he is playing well. And I know people probably remember the flag and LaFleur kind of chewing him out on the sideline. I give him total accident forgiveness there because I don't think that was a very fair flag, seeing as he was coming off a block. He can barely see if the quarterback has the football. But yeah, overall, he has been playing well. And I mean, just classic case of practicing like you're the starter, even though you're not playing. And clearly, when his number was called, he was ready. And that's been great to watch.
I kind of feel like that right there is the 2024 Green Bay Packers in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Malik Willis, right. Call his name, ready to go. And that's incredible. Like, when you think about, like, being an understudy in any way, shape, or form, I feel like is one of the hardest jobs in the world. Like, being ready to go and not practicing and not doing all these things. And you look at these guys like Brandon Cox Jr., like Malik Willis, that, you know, and Valentine, right? Like, Valentine.
Yeah, absolutely. We've
seen guys take advantage of the opportunities, and I feel like the coaching staff, with the way that the receivers have been and the success that they've had at wide receiver, not allowing anybody to really be that starter, I think kind of plays into, you know, we saw it a lot last year, but we're seeing a lot more of it this year, where I think they're ready to take a chance on guys sooner. Although we say that, and then Eric Stokes is still playing. So,
well, okay.
I know. He's been better. He still doesn't have a pass.
I still think when teams need a completion, they know where to go, and I think Sunday is going to be a big test. I mean, it's one thing to hold up against a Saints passing attack where, you know, a rookie quarterback is really kind of way out of his depth, and or to face the 49ers backup quarterback, etc. But man, Sunday in Minnesota is going to be a whole different world.
If Eric Stokes has a good pass breakup and he does the gritty, I'll eat the script next week.
We'll print it out and Corey will eat it live on air. I'm looking forward to that.
Paper's not bad for you, to be honest, but no, I will eat it.
It's not.
But all I just don't see that happening.
Duly noted.
I see you winning $2,000 on
Prize Picks.
Prize Picks before I see Eric Stokes doing the gritty.
I think you got a very decent chance of that definitely coming to fruition. No question about it. Speaking of defensive ends, somebody else who's really kind of hit their stride is Rashawn Gary. I mean, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth over this guy at the start of the year. I do think he's gotten way, way too much hate this season. And I know the guys get paid. All of a sudden they have a target on their back if they're not Superman, especially right out of the gate. But it was fascinating looking today. Shout out Zach Cruz, who had a really good kind of preview article. And he was looking at Rashawn and his rushes and et cetera. And he linked to a article from PFF that showed the number of chips that every pass rusher has gotten this year, every defensive end or outside backer or whatever, right? Rashawn is 10th in the NFL as far as getting chipped.
Damn.
Right? And his pressure rate has only increased over the course of the last 4 games. Like, he is playing better and better, and he's still getting the attention. All the stuff that we were frustrated with at the start of the season, the production wasn't there, his pressure rate was down, and he was getting chipped then. But now he's still getting chipped. He's one of the, like I said, he's 10th in the league as far as teams paying attention to him, giving him a little extra love in pass pro. And not only is it, you know, I'm not going to say not affecting him, but he's being productive despite that. He's turning pressure into sacks. And, man, again, perfect time. This is it. This is when you want to see your best players hitting their stride, which Rashawn most certainly is.
Absolutely. I mean, he's learning from Kenny. Him and Kenny are going to be like, right. You know, hey, it's December. Oh, we got playoffs? Oh, okay, here we go.
Hey, we're turning it on. Here we go.
Oh, it's December? Oh, okay. I got you, bro.
Very much so.
It does feel like that. I mean, I do think that – I think a little bit of that is, you know, the new defense. But it did really feel like the pass rush was just not coming along. And especially, like, the way Rashawn and Kenny are starting to play, we want to see more from LVN now. Like, this is the time for LVN to shine, in my opinion.
And even LVN has been better, right? Again, that's another guy who was a very popular whipping boy earlier in the year. And still, you know, on Watch Party, people go after him if, you know, we don't hear his name or you don't see him get a big play or whatever. But you go back and you watch the tape, and he's quietly improved. Now, you still want to see a hell of a lot more production for your 13th overall pick a year ago, but hopefully, much like Rashawn continuing to improve throughout the year, hopefully he starts kind of rounding into that shape as they get to the playoffs, which would be wonderful. Obviously, again, that would be phenomenal timing. And
it's
then this
so
was
weird too. Let's just go away. Hold on. Before this is just weird, okay? Like, what's I'm that? Hearing, like, I'm literally watching things on TikTok. And I'm watching, like, national media clips and stuff. And it's just so bizarre when you see things like, oh, yeah, well, the Packers have a really good defense.
What? Know. Right.
When did that happen?
Dude, right? I know. Like, it's like an out-of-body experience, right?
Seriously. And we do, okay? I'm not shitting on the defense.
We do.
Like,
yes,
like,
we do.
We do on paper, statistically. Yes. We just had a shutout at Lambeau, even against a shitty Saints team. Like, call it what you want, right? Whatever.
Right.
But, like, let's all just take a moment right here. This is not normal.
Rare air.
You know what I'm saying?
Rare air, Corey. I know.
This is not.
Dude, it's so funny you say that because I had the exact same thought. I can't remember who it was, but I did see a clip of someone talking about the Packers defense and how effective and good it was. And I was like, what looking glass did I walk through? Like, there is.
Well, and it's funny when you look at the hole that Jair Alexander created by his presence lacking and Brian not really shoring up the cornerback side. Not that any team has ever shored up their cornerbacks in history, but. You know, it's just there is a gaping hole right now that you think the teams are going to take advantage of, and you see them trying to take advantage of it. And for whatever reason, Halfley is I honestly think that Halfley's only like 70% of the where he wants to be. Like, there's no doubt in my mind.
He kind of talked about that this week. Yeah, very much so. And but they're much further along than they were obviously in October. And this is exactly what he talked about, right? We're going to continue to grow, develop, improve throughout the season. That has certainly occurred to the tune of this Packers defense is currently 6 in points per game. 6 in the league, Corey, and it's about limiting points. They are averaging 19.1. Opponents are averaging 19.1 points per game. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, 6 in the league.
And what's crazy is, I mean, they are, you know, historically when our defense has been good like this, we've done it doing turnovers, right? We've done it just turning
which
the ball
still,
over.
They've done that,
they have,
right?
But it's not the primary weapon,
exactly.
The run defense has been the primary weapon for points.
It's nuts.
The run
it's
defense
nuts.
Has done some incredible stoppage on third and fourth down that we just aren't historically used to seeing, to be honest with you. There have been two or three third and fourth down stops that have been pretty incredible. And turnovers at the right time. I mean, the Saints game, the turnovers in situational football were probably the biggest difference in that game. But just, like, take a moment. Pour one out tonight for the Packers defense because, you know, I'm just skeptical of how long this is going to last. Call me Eeyore 3. But I'm skeptical about how long this can last.
Well, hey, Sunday's going to be a great litmus test. I mean, this is.
I mean, I hope it lasts for a long time. 30
years.
And
4 points. They're at home. We'll see. Speaking of, let's take a look at this matchup on Sunday between the Packers and the Vikings. I found this fascinating. Sam Darnold is one of only 5 quarterbacks with at least 30 touchdown passes and a passer rating over 100 in the NFL this year. This cat is playing some lights out ball, and it's crazy to think how bad he looked in New York with the Jets, how bad he looked in Carolina, and, you know, we didn't really get to see him with frontline players in San Francisco when he was backing up Purdy. But man, O'Connell's got this cat playing out of his mind. And the thing is he's better against the blitz. That's what's crazy. Like the Packers, this game, this is a game they have got to be able to get pressure with four, at least intermittently, because this cat has carved blitzes up all season long. It's crazy. Crazy stuff. And then you flip it over, and the Vikings' defense. Now, here's the key to me, Corey. This is the whole key to the game right here. Packers want to run the ball. Packers want to use Josh Jacobs. They want to stay ahead of the sticks. They want to, you know, live in second and third and manageable. You want to, a lot of the times, do that with their ground game. The Vikings' defense is only giving up 3.9 yards per rushing attempt on the season. Hmm. That is,
I mean, that's almost
football.
I mean, there isn't a team we can't run on.
We're about to find out.
I mean, I really do feel like there's like the top three rushers right now, right? Jacobs, yeah. Derrick Henry, right. Saquon Barkley, right?
Those are the three.
And like they are tops above anybody else, and the way their teams are blocking for them. I mean, I just
right.
You know, if a team really wants to, if Matt LaFleur gets in his head like he did against Seattle and like he did against the Saints, that we're going to run the ball down the Vikings' throat. Feel sorry. Well, I was about to say I feel sorry for the Vikings, but I don't.
But
I
you
can't
don't.
Feel sorry for the Vikings.
Don't lie. It's don't impossible. Lie into a microphone. Yeah.
I would be lying. So, yeah.
What's fascinating to me, because you are right. Yes, they can. It's about the will to do it, right? And they certainly have gotten off the bus running the football this year. I do think the one thing that you kind of take from that Saints game is there are plenty of plays in that game where it's not blocked particularly well, and Jacobs is getting hit, and you know,
yep.
Brooks was getting hit at the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And the amount of kind of hidden yardage, so to speak, the yards after contact that this backfield yep. has generated, led by Jacobs, has been pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, it's not just him. It's Kraft. It's Reed.
No, it's all, see, everybody.
Yeah, it's pretty much everybody breaks the expectation. It's kind of like back in the 90s. The expectation is you're going to break
right.
that first tackle. You're going to
yes,
break
sir.
First contact.
That is a very good – that is well observed, Corey. Finally, the Vikings, you talk about their defense in that building in particular, but that defense takes the ball away. You're talking about the Packers. I believe the Packers are hovering around fourth or third in the league. The Vikings lead the NFL with 30 takeaways. And we saw them, you know, generate some last time they were in Lambeau. But that's zero blitz.
Didn't the Bears almost beat them?
Jordan Love throws one up. No, the Bears did not almost beat them. The Seahawks almost beat them last week.
Oh, the Seahawks. That's what I was thinking about. Somebody almost beat them. So I was like, eh. Yeah. I feel like remember this.
Doesn't work in the NFL.
Remember this nugget?
What's that?
The Minnesota Vikings are the most fraudulent playoff team in the NFL.
Where's Eric Eager when we need him?
Where the fuck is PFF? They are the most fraudulent. The Minnesota Vikings are the most fraudulent playoff team of 2024. They're frauds. They're frauds. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, people.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. They certainly have lived off of – they feasted on one-score games. They have won a boatload of one-score games that, you know, a couple go the other way, having probably a different conversation.
Well, they're kind of like, I mean, Kansas City's kind of that team too, right, this year, where but they're so dominant when they want to be, and they just, it's really hard
seemingly,
to beat them in that.
The way that the Chiefs can just seemingly turn it on is just scary. Like,
but
that
if
game
the,
on
okay,
Christmas,
so the Bears,
like, there was no doubt in that game, ever.
The Bears are the most fraudulent team in the offseason, as we all know, right? Because they're right. fraudulent in the offseason. The Vikings right. are that team, and they historically they've been this team, right? They take off,
right. yep.
and now
get
they
hot.
Got in the playoffs. They didn't
smoking.
They didn't shit the bed yep. like they normally do, right, middle of the
right,
season
right.
on. So, you know, I'm pretty sure they're going to shit the bed in the playoffs. That's
there
pretty much
go.
Their MO. So there you go.
That is it is in their DNA. No question about it. You mentioned Prize Picks earlier, Corey. Let's give a shout out to our friends over there at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You see it there on the screen. Go use code CHTV. Play $5. Get $50 instantly. Tons of fun. Daily fantasy. I mean, NFL season's wrapping up, people. I want to see your lineups, especially this weekend. All sorts of games to choose from. It's available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Here's a look at my lineup for Sunday's game in Minnesota. Give me Tucker Kraft over 33.5 receiving yards. Definitely think Josh Jacobs is getting in the end zone. Aaron Jones will not have more than 15 rushing attempts. And I think Sam Darnold's due. Sam Darnold going to throw us one. Give me Sam Darnold with an interception.
Okay.
Let me see, people. There's a link in the description of this video. Make sure you use code CHTV when you sign up. All right, Corey, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. First up, before we do anything else, I do want to give a shout out to NFL Films for miking up Carrington Valentine. Holy cow, it's amazing. I'm not going to play it here because we don't want to get our
Please
video
don't.
Demonetized. But I have a link in the description of this video for everyone to go watch it because it is fucking hilarious. Valentine is such a character. He is so much fun. I love that he's a Green Bay Packer. Like I said, link in the video in the description of this video. When we're done here, go watch it. It's hilarious. He's awesome. Also, I wanted to highlight this TikTok that I came across. Not going to play the audio because it uses movie studio music that would definitely get us a ping from YouTube. But this is so well shot. I absolutely love this. This is a woman, I didn't catch her name, but her fiance's first trip ever to Lambeau Field. They're clearly big, huge Packers fans. Take a look at this. This is awesome. There, you know that feeling walking in for the first time. Oh my gosh.
Even when it's not your first time, it's nice.
Yeah, I mean, anytime, really.
It reminds you.
It's magical, right? Now look at this. Like, she got all this so well. That just looks so
dope. Well, they're in the middle, so.
Yeah, it's just a great, great shot. And I got to think, like, for him, he's just got to be losing his mind. That's just like it's the
Does he
Mecca.
Have a Favre All-Star jersey on.
They look like it, right? I think so. God bless him. God bless him.
Oh.
Anyway, I just love that. It's just awesome. It's just I love, you know, you and I, Corey, especially yourself, living literally right across the street from the stadium. I think, you know, I don't think we take it for granted, but I do love kind of seeing people kind of through their lens, so to speak, when they don't or have never seen Lambeau Field in person, and then they do for that first time. It's always so great. It's always somewhat magical, and I could watch that type of thing all night, you know? I just love people, like, kind of appreciating Lambeau Field and the Packers kind of the way we do, right? I love
Definitely.
That.
Definitely.
Finally, in blogosphere, we all saw it, but I had to highlight it because it happened in the Packers blogosphere. Jordan Love. Embracing Toyotathon on his Instagram page. Absolutely love it. Obviously, the Bergstrom Toyota dealer got involved here. Toyotathon is on. Carspiracy theory.
How much do you think he got for that?
I don't know. It's a good question. I was going to ask you, Corey. I mean, you're the wheeler dealer here. I don't know.
100K.
I got to. Yeah, I would think at least, right?
It's a lot of money.
No, lots of money. So.
Lots of dollars.
What's going on
bills.
On the YouTube chat? Do we have any chats? Yeah. It's Friday night. People aren't used to us being around on a Friday.
Yeah, we do. I don't have VMix Social, but I'm going to read down. There's a couple people I want to give a shout-out to before we get to Super Chats. Lara Bilotti, shout-out from Brazil. Go Pack Go. Hey, want to give
What's
a shout-out to
Brazil?
Lara, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you joining. Irving Ramirez, thanks for Super Chat. Najee Harris took the dog out of 23.
There you go. Najee Harris, when he hit him.
Mimsy.
Hurt his shoulder. Hate it.
Mimsy, time for Double Agent Jones to cough up a fumble. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. I like it.
Hey, Joey, welcome to the Carry the G Club. Thanks for joining our little club here. Carry the G member, Joey. Joe Mailman, am I wrong in thinking Stokes is playing decent? No, you're not.
No, you're not wrong. He's played better. He's been a little bit more consistent, but I think the proof will be in the pudding on Sunday. This is a very different animal that he's going to have to down in and down out ready for. And, you know, it's not like they've faced a murderer's row of passing attacks. So we'll see. We'll see how it holds up on Sunday.
Shadi joining us for after a long time. Hey, Peep, long time again. Day off, and I finally get to check out Packer Transplants after a long time. Thanks, Shadid. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Shadid. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Mike Witt, thanks for Super Chat. Hey, guys, Eeyore number two checking in. I worry about JJ and Addison versus our secondary. D-line is going to help them out. 31-28 Packers in overtime.
Ooh, I hope overtime. Oh, my God, my heart. I'm not going to be able to handle overtime. But, I mean, yeah, don't forget, last time around, obviously a lot made about the fact that Jair wasn't in the lineup, but they were also rolling Ballantyne out there. He got burned by Addison on that first touchdown. I think they've found a pretty good way of working with the guys that they've got as far as, you know, clearly you've got, you know, no Jair Alexander, but you do have Keyshawn Nixon. You've got Stokes and Ballantyne working on the perimeter. What I'm fascinated to see is, can Javon Bullard go? And if he does, do they slide him right in at safety, or does he come down and play in the nickel, kind of in that, you know, third spot, so to speak? And then if he's not able to go, I think that means Zane Anderson is your safety across from Xavier McKinney. And I actually don't hate it. Kid played really well against
the
Saints. Now, you know, obviously, again, it's a very different animal passing attack-wise. But he has not been overmatched his two kind of times out on the field and playing significant minutes. He's looked the part. He's looked good. I don't hate that. And I think, you know, like I said, he's absolutely answered the bell so far. So we'll see what the kind of mix is there, but it seems like Halfley, Corey, you mentioned it earlier, I think Halfley's really found a good way of working with this group, even without his star cornerback.
Ryan Willie. Wildy said on his show this morning that number 23 has likely played his last game in a Packers jersey. Do you agree or disagree?
Probably agree. I think there's a chance he still comes back at some point this season. But I think this is his last season in Green Bay.
Oh, so you don't agree that it's his last game?
Well, I don't know health-wise. I mean, is he shutting it down? Are they shutting him down? If so, why isn't he on IR? You know what I mean? Like, as long as there's still a chance, it's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, yeah, he's done. But, yeah, I'll be surprised if he's back next season.
NA Productions, clinching our spot in the playoffs before Week 18 feels so good. Hype video will be out tonight. Shout out to Cheesehead TV for a great regular season. Thank you.
Thank you, NA Productions.
Thanks.
Can't wait to check out the hype video, dude.
Getting ready for that hype. Hype, hype. Go Pack. Nags, what can you tell me about number 53 Mosby and number 57 Cox? Which one is better in your opinion? What NFC team do you think poses the biggest challenge?
Oh, man, as far as the last part first.
Lions.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I do honestly think, and look, there's no shade to the Vikings or Lions, but I do think it's Philly if Hurts is healthy, obviously.
Nah, Lions. It's the Lions. It's 100% the Lions.
The offensive and defensive lines for the Eagles are problematic. As far as Mosby and Cox.
The mixture of where the Lions are playing and the way Dan Campbell is out of his freaking aggressive mind.
That's
I don't know that there's a team that has something against that has something that can really match that. Matt LaFleur can match that, but
I mean, yeah, we saw it last year, right?
He's got to get crazy though. He got to get crazy. He's got to waste a shitload of timeouts early. He's got to challenge early and often. He's got to get rid of his challenges.
He
can. And every fourth down, unless it's like on the their 30 line, you have to go for it. Like, if he does those things, we can beat the Lions. If he doesn't do those three things, I don't think he can beat the Lions.
As far as between Mosby and Cox, obviously Brent Cox Jr. has gotten a ton of playing time since the trade of Preston Smith. Mosby, he looked good this summer, but I don't know if he's really developed and ready yet. But who knows? Maybe he starts to get a little bit more play and a little bit more kind of playing time, so to speak. But Brent Cox Jr. has certainly become a significant part of the rotation.
Randy James, got me some Carry the G for Christmas. Going to drink it on Sunday during the game. Tasty beverage. Go Pack Go.
There you go.
Thanks for getting it. Appreciate it.
Get yourself some Carry the G. Love it.
Merry Christmas, Corey and Nags from Daryl. Daryl, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Daryl.
Merry Christmas. Dustin Logan.
Thanks so much.
Love how Gary hypes up his teammates. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Like
poor Lisa Salters. That was great. So good. Absolutely love it.
sideline report. Ever since I bought my Cheesehead TV Ja Money t-shirt, he started missing games.
Womp, 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 womp.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? I also have a Pack is Back, huh, t-shirt that I wore once this year and haven't been able to wear again because he hasn't been out there.
Peace, Oder. Sunday is a race to see who is the first to 35.
Soder, I think you're right. I think it's going to be very akin to what we saw in Detroit. I think it's going to be that kind of game.
Mike Witt, just imagine how ridiculous Paul Allen will be if Vikings go to the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, hey. Whoa, 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 whoa. Why put that in the universe? No, nobody wants that. Nobody needs that in their life, especially not Green Bay Packers fans.
No. I mean, good thing he doesn't get to call the Super Bowl. That's the thing. Does he probably gets a call it on radio or something, which is
Well, yeah, he'll do the radio call for the team. Like if we went and Wade and Larry
would
do it.
He'll make a mistake. So that's that. There's that.
Yeah, a field goal.
He'll be like,
that
it's
was
intercepted.
No good. He'll call it
no,
good
it's
or
not
something.
Intercepted. Right. Just kidding.
Can't wait. No.
That's all I got.
All right. Rock and roll. Can't thank you guys enough for chiming in. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Cheesehead TV Patreon members are the lifeblood of everything we do. Thank you so much. If you're interested in supporting Cheesehead TV in any way, shape, or form, Patreon is the single best, easiest way to do it. Go to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. Also, a shout out right here on YouTube, Care of the G Club members. You guys make Watch Party a ton of fun. Speaking of Watch Party, I need you guys to show up on Sunday because Corey will be busy doing his New Year's Eve stuff, getting ready for the big show. So I'm going to be on my own Sunday watching this game. So I need all the Care of the G Club members, everybody, Packers fans worldwide, come on by YouTube right here on Sunday afternoon. It's going to be a lot of fun. You got anything else for the fine folks at home, Corey, before we head out into the night?
I'm going to be watching from my production trailer, but
there you go.
I don't know. I'm in this weird place where I don't know. I'm just in this weird place. Like, these two games, they just don't matter, and there's something to be said for, like, resting. But I just don't see Matt ever doing
that. No, I don't want any resting. I want guys playing football. I mean, even if it's like last
but
week.
But I don't think it's bad
Jacobs
that we have.
Out after the first half, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think it's bad that we have guys injured. Like, I do think Jair will be back. Like, that whole super chat, I see him coming back in the playoffs, and I just do. I don't know.
That's the hope.
Because to your
right?
point, why take him out on IR? But no, that's what I got. Have a great weekend, everybody. Appreciate you. And you know what's going to happen is we're going to win and we're going to stay the stupid we're going to become the seventh seed all of a sudden. We're going to win two games and then we're going to be like
way down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.